This podcast is a proud member of the Lamb Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.
Welcome to the Really Awful Movies Podcast, a celebration of low-budget cinema.
Is another apocalyptic prediction about to come true? Winds of death sweep across the world, and whole continents will be cast adrift in an ocean of blood.
Chris, and along with Jeff, we're bringing you the very best and worst of horror, sci-fi, action, exploitation, kung fu, and women in prison movies from the 1970s to today. Be sure and check out reallyawfulmovies.com for reviews, interviews, lists, and terrific movie giveaways. From our downtown Toronto headquarters, here's episode 11, How We Got Into Low-Budget Cinema, part 1. Alright, so in today's episode, we're going to be talking about the origins of our interest in low-budget cinema, B-movies, if you will.
For lack of a better term. Kind of a cane. Yeah. I mean, a movie's a movie, right? And yeah. If a movie's entertaining, I mean, why sign in a letter? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, there's even people say, you know, Z-movies, you know, for like, you know, your trauma films and whatnot. I mean, come on, man. I mean, yeah. You know, a movie, it's either going to entertain you or it's not. And you know, A, B, C, D, Z.
Let's put it this way. It's not the kind of thing you'd be able to discuss at the water cooler at the office. This stuff that doesn't have wide distribution, that maybe, you know, didn't get the love that you thought it deserved.
But these are great movies.
These are still great movies.
And they entertain you.
Yeah.
Which is a lot more that can be said for a lot of the shit that Hollywood puts out these days, you know?
This is true. Now, we recently discussed Mary Warrenoff, and who was in Terror Vision. And she of the, you know, elongated, attenuated limbs and the odd face and this sort of...
And yes, so, you know, strangely attractive.
Strangely attractive, like Picasso-esque, you know, like body she has.
Modigliani, I would say.
Modigliani, even better. You know, fantastic references here. Mm-hmm. Anyway, by way of a segue, I think the movie Eating Raoul had a, you know, seminal influence on me because we discussed City TV. In an earlier podcast, it was the influence for the TV channel in Videodrome. But this is sort of a, you know, little station that could in Toronto that aired all these B movies really late at night, and it must have been around 2 or 3 in the morning where they aired Eating Raoul, and I saw the synopsis and thought, this is great. There's a couple, Paul and Mary Bland, played by Paul Bartel, the amazing Paul Bartel, and Mary Warrenoff. Mm-hmm. And they play a couple who is trying to finance their dream restaurant by luring swingers to their apartment and hitting them over the head with a frying pan and robbing them. And I thought, this is fantastic. Yeah, yeah. Like, this is an amazing premise. Right. So at the time, everyone's watching your Indiana Jones and your Star Wars and whatnot, and this is the kind of thing that I thought, oh, I could definitely latch onto. And I would say the movie didn't disappoint either, because how could you with that premise? And the Eating Raoul part, like, I don't want to spoil it, but that name features prominently later on. But anyway, this is also a film that you can't help but love, because someone nearly drowns in a toilet bowl. I think you mentioned in an earlier conversation we had about someone who does drown in a toilet.
Yeah, no, I mean, I recently watched a movie.
What a distinction.
Yeah, no, it was a movie from...
Forget about Rosebud and the sled and, you know, Orson Welles. Yeah, exactly. No, we have toilet bowl drownings. Yeah.
I watched this movie called Satan Sadist, which starred Russ Tamblyn, who was in West Side Story. And it was just this sort of biker, you know, biker gang wreaking havoc in a small town sort of movie. Really wasn't much to, you know, much of anything. However, the one thing that was notable about the film was it was the very first movie to depict toilet bowl drowning. So there you go.
Yeah, you heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. Call a plumber. We got an emergency.
So that was Satan Sadist by Al Adamson. That definitely a Z-grade movie, but actually Russ Tamblyn's agent said, yeah, that movie killed your career dead. But anyway.
And we recently discussed Curtains, where there's a severed head found in a toilet.
Yes.
So anyway, enough with the toilet humor and the toilet references. Uh-huh. But I would say definitely Eating Raoul is up there in terms of getting me into these more warped kinds of sensibilities.
Yeah, no, it's funny because I saw Eating Rule for the first time, I'd say, about, I don't know, like within this year.
Hmm.
Criterion actually released it as part of their Criterion collection. As you know, Criterion, I mean, they only released like the seminal artistic movies, right? Your Kurosawa's, your New Wave, you know.
Yeah, your Renoir and all your New Wave.
Exactly. Yeah. Truffaut and what have you, mm-hmm. and there's Eating Raoul. I love it. I mean, I didn't see it at the more, I guess,
impressionable age
as you, but it was fantastic. Now, it's funny because this is part one, because we're going to talk about Chris's
favorite budget movies, yeah.
And just in a way of, you know, building up some anticipation, one of my movies I'm going to talk about next week also features Paul Bertel and Mary Warrenoff. Mm-hmm. So, something to keep you guys guessing, or if you have any guesses, you know, feel free to email us.
Awfulmovies@gmail.com.
Yeah. So, okay, Eating Raoul, great, great film. Toilet bowl drowning.
Yeah, it's got sort of a madcap appeal.
Like, zany
sort of,
humor.
It's zany. I mean, they lure these swingers over to their place, and then they try and hammer them over.
They lure them over under the pretense that they're going to be
robbing them.
Well, no, under the pretense.
Oh, the pretense. Yeah,
is they're going to be having sex?
And you know, and the poor schlubs end up getting kitchenware over the head. So yeah,
and you were talking about Mary Warrenoff and her sort of very unconventional beauty. What about Paul Bertel with his very unique voice?
Unconventional beauty.
Yeah.
Paul Bertel?
No, Mary Warnoff.
By way of segue. He's a very handsome man.
He's also got a very unique way of, you know, very unique voice. Very, very sort of like, you know.
Very calming.
Calming, but also like almost aristocratic in a sense, you know. So, Eating Raoul is definitely, it's a good one. It's a good one. So kudos on that choice. What else?
Yeah, and then I guess around the same time, I guess I sort of started getting into just the equivalent in Toronto of the Village Voice, which is the now defunct I magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And they would run a synopses of, you know, sort of these avant-garde films. And so I remember at, I guess, 15 or 16, going to see the William Shatner
all you need to do is say the name William Shatner, I'm going to burst out laughing. Like, the guy's such a ham. But anyway.
Yeah, he was in a movie where he played a white supremacist, and I don't know what me and my friend, you know, decided to go and see this thing, but it was called, I don't remember much about it. It was called Intruder, a.k.a. I Hate Your Guts.
It was a Roger Corman film.
Yes, it was a Roger Corman movie. And, you know, he features prominently on our site. I mean, we reviewed Piranha, among others. I mean, we love
Roger
Corman. Well,
that's actually an upcoming review. It's not on the site yet, but it will be coming.
Later, you know, we love our Corman, and we've read his books and everything else. So, anyway, so that was, I don't remember the particulars, but I remember just going to this rep grindhouse cinema and being younger than everyone there, and just to experience this movie that we probably shouldn't have been let into, and everyone else was older, and everyone's sort of laughing uproariously at this, you know, bad taste William Shatner movie. So that was number two. And then number three, I guess.
Before we get to that, interesting thing, fact about Intruder. I mean, I haven't seen it.
Mm-hmm.
It's on my list. In fact, I really want to see it. Reading Corman's autobiography, I think the movie, the autobiography is entitled something along the lines, I'm paraphrasing right now, how I made, you know, so many movies in Hollywood and never lost money,
yeah.
The only movie he ever lost money on was...
Who would have thought? A movie about a white supremacist.
The white supremacist played by William Shatner.
Yeah, interesting.
So, I mean, William Shatner is, another Canadian export. so you guys can thank us for that. To our American listeners, you know, we only give you the best.
paid a high tariff on that export.
Yeah, yeah. There you go. I am a white supremacist. Come to your house.
It's uncanny how you did that.
Impressions are my...
Your forte.
My forte in another lifetime, I guess. But
And the other one, I guess, it might have been in university where a friend introduced me to the wonders of Dolomite, which is, you know, introduced me also into the blaxploitation genre.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Now, Dolomite, I mean...
In similar to, you know, Coffee and Shaft and all these types of movies, and
But the only thing, I mean,
TNT Jackson, that kind of thing.
But see, one difference, Chris, I mean, those movies have production values. I mean, they might have been, you know, made on the cheap, right? But I mean, Dolomite, that movie looked like it was made for 50 cents. I mean, that was a good movie, you know.
It really did, yeah. The fight scenes were almost, it was unbelievable. You could drive a truck between, you know, the protagonist's, you know, fist and his antagonist right there.
It was
about, you know, a pimp Dolomite.
Dolomite played by the incomparable Rudy Raymore.
Yeah.
Who is incomparable.
I should say, yeah, I found out later that this movie was a comedy based on Rudy Raymore's, you know, stand-up style. And
you found out later this movie was a comedy. In other words, you didn't find it a comedy when you watched it.
He was apparently a comedian.
He was a comedian,
so this was meant in jest, some of it, but I don't think the parts that he meant to be in jest were the ones that people were actually laughing at. So, yeah, and we would, you know, me and my friend would have, we would quote liberally from this movie, like...
Do you recall a quote right now, this moment?
Warden, let me pass, or maybe take it, these motherfucking hush puppies out your ass. and just crazy lines, and I love the depictions of the corny white guys, which is, you know, prevalent in all these movies, where these guys are just super, super honky. You know,
like, hunky or honky?
Honky. Just complete over the top, just stereotypes. It was really neat because I guess these movies were, I guess, dismissed as just crap at the time, but they're actually quite empowering for black cinema because they had a really incredibly difficult time getting anything made and financed. So the fact that they would come out with anything at the time amidst, you know, the just post civil rights era was remarkable. So, and then to turn the tables on Whitey with these kind of characters was, yeah, I'm sure, you know, they probably found it empowering, and as you know, a younger, you know, person, I just felt, it was just hilarious
so
to
first
see the tables turned.
You got the white supremacist William Shatner, and you're talking about turning the tables on Whitey. I mean,
yeah. an interesting turn of events there. So.
Rudy Raymore, who's also the Disco Godfather, too.
Yeah, the Avenging Disco Godfather.
Now,
and the Black Tornado as
well.
Worth checking out.
excuse me, Rudy Raymore was fond of self-promotion. Now, he was, it's kind of like, you know, Michael Jackson, the King of Pop. I mean, he sort of was the self-anointed King of Pop, right? Rudy Raymore, I believe, anointed himself as the Godfather of Rap.
Wow, I did not know that.
Yeah, in other words, I mean, his stand-up routine, his cadence, the way he would deliver his lines was the precursor to rap, so...
So he says, yeah.
Yeah.
Afrika Bambaataa and, you know, and DJ Kool Herc and all those guys in the Bronx would have, you know, a bone to pick with that. But
they may differ,
it's possible, yeah. It's definitely, he had a certain something.
Now, Chris, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you to quote one more line from Dolomite. That was...
He's got, you know, kids, and he goes... Hey kids, go out and buy yourself some bubble gums, you know, just to get rid of them because they're in. You know, he doesn't want, you know, little kids hanging around as bitches. But this is just incredibly quotable, this movie. So yeah, that left a lasting effect. And you know, obviously that was the movie that influenced the Wayans brothers. I'm Gonna Get You Sucker.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, that was a great movie.
And,
how much for your ribs?
Yeah,
I remember not seeing that.
Yeah,
that was a great scene.
And, you know,
one rib.
It got me revisiting the likes of, you know, as I said, TNT Jackson, which you can read on our site. And yeah, it's sort of interesting aesthetic and amazing fashions. You know, giant fur coats and stuff that, you know, Snoop Dogg has paid homage to as well in his videos. Mm. And the giant chalices and basically pimp culture, which, you know, let's not, you know, beat around the bush here. It's not exactly the greatest legacy that movies might have left us, but, you know, it is what it is. And it's...
Chris.
Yeah.
It's hard out there for a pimp.
It is. It's hot. Anyway, that's how I got
an Oscar-winning song.
Yeah, unbelievably. Yeah.
It just amazed me that up until a couple years ago, we lived in a world where Martin Scorsese, I mean, he did win an Oscar finally for The Departed, but we lived in a world where...
Yeah, subpar Departed.
Exactly, for one of his worst films, where Martin Scorsese was without Oscar, but 3-6 Mafia was... For that particular ditty out there, it's hard out there for a pimp.
Ditty, yeah.
I do appreciate some hip hop, and the last ODB solo record started out with
Rest in Peace.
Exactly. Let's pour a little of our drink. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
ODB. Yeah, he sampled quite a bit of Rudy Ray Moore. And,
yeah.
Or even that video. Do you remember that video for that song? Hey,
baby, I got your money.
That was an homage to
Dolomite. It was. This guy's impact is long lasting.
Yeah, and I believe he passed away a couple years ago at the ripe old age of 81. So, you know.
Long life.
Long life. Rudy Ray Moore, Dolomite.
Yeah. And anyway, for more, check out reallyawfulmovies.com and we'll talk to you soon.
Mm-hmm. Take care. Thank you.